This is the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania. I do two podcasts, this one on the Middle East and another on mainstream American politics. Thank you for listening to this podcast where we talk about issues in the Middle East, Palestine, Israel, and American policies. You can get more information on all of my podcasts by visiting www.hanania.com.
It's Friday, January 31st, and I'm Ray Hanania. Not Layla, I am Ray Hanania, and I'm the special U.S. correspondent for the Arab News newspaper based in Riyadh and Dubai. It's the largest English-language newspaper in the Middle East, and you're listening to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast broadcast from Detroit, Michigan through 690 AM WNZK Radio. The Arab Street Radio and Podcast is part of the U.S. Arab Radio Network, hosted by Layla El Husseini, in an effort to energize and empower Arab Americans to stand up for their rights. For more information, you can go to my website for all the discussions, the columns, all the references we make to hanania.com. And afterwards, you can check out the podcast of this radio show if you miss it. If you're not in Detroit, you can always go online, but you visit my podcast website at thearabstreet.org, and you'll be able to get all the past radio interviews and podcasts that I produce every week. I actually do two podcasts. I do one on Middle East issues called thearabstreet.org, and I do one on American politics based here out of Chicago, where I'm connecting to Detroit from this morning. And that is called Ray Hanania on Politics.com. Has a whole different audience. Same stuff, you know, same crazy Ray. I don't deny that I'm off the deep end sometimes. But when you're a Palestinian living in a world that hates us, and we have no leaders, and we have terrible activists who can't do anything, it's just depressing. You have to go off the deep end to wake people up and get them. Our radio show call-in number is 248-557-3300. 248-557-3300. President Trump, with Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu wearing a Cheshire Cat smile at Trump's side, unveiled his deal of the century this week. Is it a deal of the century, or is it the steal of the century? We'll be talking about the deal, which is really no deal at all. But Israel, the U.S., and even three Arab countries, the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and Oman, say it's a good start. I can't believe that anyone in the Arab world was willing to be there without pushing the Palestinians to be there, because that's my problem. They say it's a good start, but Israel doesn't care about what anybody thinks. They're just going to go ahead and do whatever they want to do. They're going to annex the Jordan Valley. They're going to move forward with solidifying their grip. But let's be honest. Plan stinks, but the Palestinians should have been there. They should have been there so they could say no and demand changes and put forth a new plan and lay out a new map and stop making themselves the excuse for peace failure. I know it's hard when the Palestinians are the victims and oppressed by Israel, but we brought it on ourselves by doing nothing, by allowing the extremists to put us in a headlock, the moderates and the smart Palestinians. When are we going to wake up? When are the smart Palestinians going to ever wake up and throw the fanatics and the extremists to tell them to shut their mouth? You know, quit using the suffering of the Palestinians as an excuse to say no, to reject everything. You know, Mahmoud Abbas is a decent guy, but he's nothing like Yasser Arafat. But even Yasser Arafat, as strong as he was bullied by the extremists. He should have taken that agreement and then built on it. Because you want to know something? That's what the Israelis do, and it works. They take whatever they can get. They accepted the 1947 partition, which looks only a little bit better than what the Israelis are offering us and what the Trump administration is offering the Palestinians today. The UN basically took a pencil and drew around Jewish borders in Palestine in 1947 and said, we'll make this into the Jewish state. And the Jews immediately said, yes, we'll take it. And they declared their state of Israel. And then they fought with us and beat us. They beat the Arabs because the Arabs have bigger mouths than and bigger emotion and bigger angry than they had weapons or the ability to defend themselves. And they lost half more of their property, their side of the state, went to Israel. Israel took over two-thirds of that whole country in 1948 after they started the war. But we played into their hands by being angry, by being emotional, because we were stupid. Because that's how the Palestinian leadership has been over the years. They've been stupid, constantly stupid, and they're afraid of the fanatics. If you're going to kill anybody, get rid of the fanatics. Get rid of the extremists and get them out of the way, because the extremists and fanatics will use violence, not just to kill Israelis, but to kill any Palestinian who stands in their way. And that's just disgusting to me. But that pattern hasn't stopped. That pattern has continued. Israel says yes, yes, yes to everything. And the Palestinians say no, no, no. And little by little, Israel continues to expand. And when you look at this progression from 1947 until today, and when you compare it to how the Israelis and Palestinians have reacted, I'm not going to say the Israeli government is good people. They are not. The Israeli government is a racist, apartheid, hate-driven fanaticism that is intent on ethnically cleansing Christians and Muslims from Palestine. That's their goal. But then you look at the idiots who represent the Palestinians over the years, and you wonder, why are they allowing the fanatics to push them into a corner and tell them the only response is violence, kill people? Why can't we be smart and use diplomacy the way the Israelis have? This Israeli racist government that continues till today, biased, and it's just unbelievable. Now they've taken everything little by little. They're slowly erasing Palestinian rights. And all we can do is say, no, that's bad. Call them all kinds of names. I'm tired of it. I really am. And I'm going to tell you what. A lot of people are, it's not just me, and I'm a Palestinian. I know how the Palestinians, you know, the activists, the fanatics write me off. They go, yeah, Ray Hanania is a Christian. He's not really a Palestinian. Oh yeah, Ray Hanania, his wife is Jewish. He's not really a Palestinian. You know what? I grew up in an era where they said we were going to have a democratic Palestine that treated Christians, Muslims, and Jews equally. And I believed in that. And I still believe in that. I don't believe the Israeli government and most of the Israeli people will ever allow us to do that. But I believe we can do it. And I believe that we can create our Palestinian state and we can make it a model of equality for Jews, Christians, and Muslims together. So I believe in that. But the fanatics don't believe in it. They've turned it into an industry. The fanatics have made this into their jobs. They make money. I mean, I interviewed Jared Kushner this week, and listen, I don't agree with everything Jared says, but I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to interview him. I'm not going to try to influence him. When I interviewed him, he pretty much said that the Palestinians should be at the table because they can negotiate. That this plan is negotiable, he said. He criticized calls for by the Palestinians for calling for days of rage. Who he accused of defending the status quo. Here's Kushner's quote, and I got to be honest, I agree with him. While this has gone on, Israel continues to take more and more land, and they haven't been interested in getting a deal done. That's what Kushner said. And then he continued. And then the Palestinians, they just continue to get billions of dollars of aid from a lot of countries throughout the world. They have made this an international cause. They have built a good business off of it. A lot of their leaders are rich. Their friends are rich. Their families are rich. And they really don't care about the people. Yeah, people, wake up. Wake up, Palestinians. You can't possibly except the Palestinian reaction that we just saw. And no action, no response, no strategy. You know what the Palestinian leadership wants to do? to make the fanatics happy. They want to say no, and they're hoping that the Palestinians who live in the West Bank, who are brutalized every day by the Israelis, will, and who put their lives on at risk every day by existing and refusing to leave and be pushed out through ethnic cleansing by the Israelis, they want them to put their lives on the line and start another intifada and start another days of rage and start violence. They're hoping that violence will force Israel to do the right thing, Israel's government. And I'm going to tell you what, violence has pushed Israel to do a lot, but it's never been to do the right thing. What the Palestinians need to do is be smart. They need to embrace strategic diplomacy. They need to change the American minds. I was happy that Saudi Arabia was not at that place. The Saudis have stood up and defended the Palestinians, but they also defend peace. They want compromise. And any Palestinian who says he doesn't want compromise, you're a fanatic. You're the cause. You're the reason why Palestine doesn't exist today. You have helped make Palestine vanish by ignorance and emotion and anger and hatred, because you can't figure out a way to accept the reality of a Palestine that is a democracy that treats everyone, Christians, Muslims, and yes, Jews, the same. And if you can't do that, because that's the fundamental problem with the extremists. Now, I'm not saying they're the only problems. The extremist Palestinians are a big problem. They're the reason why the Palestinians stumble. But the Israeli government under Netanyahu, under Ariel Sharon, a war criminal, these guys deserve to be prosecuted by the International Criminal Court, and they eventually will be prosecuted. The ICC is looking at them, and they're going to take a tough stand, but we need to focus on doing the right thing. We can't always allow ourselves to be made into the bad guys. We can't allow ourselves to walk away from the table and say, no, we don't want that, and let people decide our future on our own. They should have been in Bahrain when Kushner and the White House unveiled the Peace to Prosperity plan last November. They should have been at the White House this week when Netanyahu and the Cheshire Cat smiling Benjamin Netanyahu unveiled the steal of the century. They should have been there to push back. They should have been there to make their case. They should have been there to talk to the world. Instead, they're angrily yelling and screaming and saying they don't want anything. I'm going to tell you what, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of the leadership of the Palestinians. I'm tired of the fanatics, the extremists, and you should be tired of it too. If you're a Palestinian, you should stop yelling and screaming about this plan is terrible. It's not going to work. Do what the Israelis have done. Take what you can get and build on it. And every offer that comes in is less and less than what was offered before. It's worse today. And finally, I'm going to tell you before we take our next break, as I angrily denounce this whole situation, the plan, the Palestinians, the racist Israeli government, I'm going to remind you about something, that we can make a difference. There is a way to do it. We need to reach out to the moderate Jewish and moderate Israeli community and build coalitions. We shouldn't take actions that scare them off. Calling for days of rage doesn't build alliances with moderate Jewish leaders or moderate Israeli leaders. We have to accept the fact that there will be two states. We can't just say we want two states. You have to accept two states. And if you accept two states, then you accept compromise. And that means working with Israeli leaders, even when we don't completely agree with them, like Benny Gantz. Benny Gantz knows he can't openly endorse the Palestinians, because if he does, he can't beat Netanyahu. And their election is March 2nd. So he's being strategic. But when that election's done, if Benny Gantz wins, you can bet that guy will turn around and cut a deal with the Palestinians, a better deal than we've ever had or ever put on a table by Netanyahu or Sharon or all the terrorists, former terrorists, yeah, who led Israel as prime ministers. They're all former terrorists, almost all of them, and terrible people. But that doesn't mean that we should be like them or try to be worse than them. We should be better than them. We should have been smart. We should have been there and we weren't. Our call-in number is 248-557-3300. You don't have to agree with me, and I know there are a lot of people who don't. But what have you brought to the table? And I think that's the reason why that some people won't call in, because they're afraid to admit that their strategy is a failure. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio, the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. We're going to be broadcasting for the next 45 minutes. Our phone call-in number at the studio is 248-557-3300. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages. And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast, where I'm taking the Palestinian community to the woodshed. Because you know what? They need to have someone knock some sense into them. Because I'm tired of being led by morons and idiots. I'm tired of being led by the fanatics. I'm tired of being led by the extremists. I'm tired of being led by people who don't want to do the right thing, who feel that it's better and more courageous to embrace violence and say, yeah, go out and protest, days of rage, maybe it'll start an intifada, and maybe there'll be violence, and maybe with more violence, the Israelis will finally say, oh, no, don't do that, you know, we'll give you whatever you want. Have they ever said that? No. How many intifadas? 2.5. And they've never said that. What they did one time, Yitzhak Rabin came to the peace table after we reached out to him. We were smart. Yasser Arafat reached out to Israel through Ibrahim Abulurad and Edward Said, and they came up with a plan to build a Palestinian state in 1988. Edward Said bailed out of that, but Ibrahim Abulurad supported it, and it led to Yitzhak Rabin and Arafat signing a peace accord in 1993 that Hamas terrorists immediately went to the mats to destroy, bombing people. They used violence to justify suicide, a wave of suicide bombings, which was the worst I've ever seen, targeting civilians. They couldn't fight the Israeli soldiers. They targeted civilians. Now, yeah, pretty much every Israeli wears a uniform, but if you're not fighting, if you're not at the front lines, you don't target people from behind the scenes. You don't go to their homes and kill them. You don't kidnap kids. You don't kidnap family members. You stand up for your rights and you do it smartly. And I know many Palestinians are ashamed by allowing fanatics and extremists like Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood to influence our organizations in this country. But I'm going to tell you what, I knew Ibrahim Abulurad. I knew Edward Said. And while I may have disagreed with Edward Said, because he did get angry in his later years, but he was a brilliant writer, probably one of the most misunderstood Palestinians since Jesus Christ. I believed that two states and compromise was always possible by being smart. But we've never had a smart leadership in this country, and many Palestinians are afraid to admit that. Because, you know, in the Arab world, we love to sing Ella Dalona songs. We love to eat hummus and falafel and stuffed grape leaves and tabbouleh. We love to dance. We love to do the debka. We love to listen to the oud. We love to, because it gets us emotional. We love to yell and scream. We love to get angry. And have you been to a Palestinian conference? My ears are always ringing because they're yelling at us from the microphone all the time, screaming at us, and they're doing nothing. They're using emotion as a distraction to take your eyes off the prize. The prize is freedom. And we don't have to have all of Palestine. Half would have been great. Even one third would have been great, because I believe in the Palestinian people, and I believe that deep down we have what it takes to convert everything. We can do that. 248-557-3300 is the phone number if you want to call in and tell me what you think. This week and other things, there have been a lot of other things going on. We had a Chaldean woman, Dalia Al-Akidi, a Republican. She had no chance of winning, but she announced her candidacy against Ilhan Omar, who is a Somali American congresswoman from Minnesota. And she announced her candidacy. That story, I'll tell you what, the Chaldeans and the Iraqis have a big community in this country. That got over 24,000 reads. You know, that's what people, nobody reads about Palestine. People are tired of Palestine because we've made them tired of Palestine. And here in the Chicagoland area, there's a big congressional battle in the 3rd Congressional District where Dan Lipinski has been the congressman, I think, for, I don't know, 5 or 6 terms. I have to look it up. But he's being challenged by Maureen Newman, who's a little too far to the left for this district, which is a conservative Democratic district, the 3rd district. But the 3rd district has the largest Palestinian population in a congressional district around the country. Let's have Sami El Hadi, who took the time to call at 248-557-3300, join us and welcome him to the Arab Street Radio. Hey, Sami, how are you?
Good morning, Ray, and good morning to your audiences. I'm glad that there is a chance for me to get into this show and have a short statement about what you were talking about this morning, the new African, the new president, actually, Trump, roadmap, if I'm using the right terms.
Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. So we have to remember two things. Number one, the position of the United States government since the establishment of Israel in 1948 is support and unconditional support for Israel. So nothing new here.
Yes.
Why we are like shocked?
Yes. Why are we shocked? That's a good point, Sami. Yes. That's a great point because a lot of people think Trump and the Democrats are different. No, the Democrats haven't done anything better. They just do it in a different way that makes us feel good.
President Obama was a Democratic president, and he was like he signed $1 billion support to Israel, the biggest in the history of the United States.
Yes,
there's a slight change in the history, between the United States and the Israeli government in regard to support. Happened in 1977 when Jimmy Carter was in office, and he was like leaning on Benjamin. And the president that from Egypt that was pushing both sides to have an agreement. But for that day, he accepted what he can take now and built on it. So when 1973 war.
Yes, right. Listen, Sami, you're absolutely right. Anwar Sadat. He accepted that plan as a step forward, and he really believed that Israel would address the Palestinian issue. But Menachem Begin, a former vicious terrorist, lied to everybody, and Carter was pushed out of office, and Anwar Sadat was assassinated. So nobody was there to argue that the Israelis lied, right? I mean, they lied. They said the next step would be to negotiate with the Palestinians. But we were so angry as Palestinians. I remember. I don't know if you know how old you are, but remember how angry we got when he did that? We didn't see the future.
Unfortunately, the Palestinian, the Syrian, the Jordanian refused to participate at the MENA House conference with the first time their flag is going to be on the table.
Yep.
Across the United States, across Israel, and with the support of the United Nations. However, let us not cry on the spoiled milk. That's the second thing that I need every listener to recognize is that Trump is a pragmatic businessman. He is not a politician, and he is not a diplomatic. He is someone in the office solving his problem on what he thinks is a problem in the way that a businessman manages his company. My advice now to everyone is it absolutely... I'm sorry, let me take this back.
That's
and
right.
Before he announced his map, he spent 3 years doing this. 3 years. And during those 3 years, a lot of things happened. Visits from Israeli officials to Gulf states. Support from Saudi Arabia to the Israeli government. Relationship directly between Emirates and Israel. And he moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in implementation of a congressional law that from 1993.
Yes.
Last thing he did is he recognized Golan Heights as a part of Israel. Now, all this happens and nothing as a reaction from the Arab
nothing.
States.
Nothing. Not just the Arab states. Now, you're absolutely right. All we got was silence from everybody except screaming from the activists who did nothing. The activists have done nothing.
He seized the opportunity and he finalized everything. Now, my advice to the Palestinians and to all the Arab dear relatives in the Middle East, take what you can take now.
Yes.
And it's building pressure. Start building pressure. You have the support of the international community. But give them a chance to ally with you. You're not going to be able to achieve any more than that. So take it and build on it. Thank you very much, Ray.
Sammy, thank you.
Thank you,
Sammy. I appreciate it. Our phone number, 248-557-3300. We got to take another break here, and then when we come back, let's keep talking. I want to talk briefly about the 3rd Congressional District after the break, but also about this, the ineffectiveness of the Palestinians to stand up and do the right thing. They just can't do it because the extremists have us in a hold. You know, if you watched Trump and Netanyahu on TV when he unveiled this plan, Trump was very sympathetic to the Palestinians. He said a lot of things sympathetic to the Palestinians. His views didn't match Netanyahu 100%, but Netanyahu knew the Palestinians aren't going to accept this, so he'll accept it right off the bat. I'm going to tell you what, if the Palestinians had accepted this plan, Israel would have rejected it. That's the fact. I'm Ray Hanania. This is the Arab Street Radio at WNZK 690 AM. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages. And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan through WNZK AM 690 Radio. I know we have a lot of listeners out there in greater Detroit and Michigan, and that whole area, including Windsor, Canada, and parts of Ohio. Our number is 248-557-3300, 248-557-3300. If you want to call in and talk, nobody, even if you disagree with me, I'm always going to respect you because I'm not a fanatic. And I think that it's the fanatics that have destroyed the Palestinian future. And I think that can do something. We need to turn away from anger and rejection and saying no, no, no. You know, I mean, it's fun to dance a Ella Delona type music, you know, all that Arabian music where you can just jiggle and wiggle and you do that oud music. It's just phenomenal. I love it. And smoking the hookah. I don't smoke the hookah, but I do like to smoke a cigar every once in a while. Excuse me. No, that's not from a cigar. Just joking. Our number is 248-557-3300. But we got to do more than be emotional and angry. We got to wake up. When are the Palestinians going to wake up? When are we going to wake up from the slumber of fanaticism that has us in a chokehold, that has us holding us down, and we lose everything? We should take what we can get, because I'm going to tell you what, if Abbas had been in Washington when Netanyahu and Trump unveiled the steal of the century or the deal of the century, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. If he had been there standing with them and said, yes, I accept this as a basis for negotiation, let's negotiate, Israel would have said no. Netanyahu would have choked on stage and fallen to the ground. They would have had to call an ambulance to revive him. But he knew that the Palestinians would say no, and he'll take whatever is thrown in his lap. And I challenge you to go back and watch that press conference. Go to the whitehouse.gov website. They have the video of it. You can go watch it. You watch it, and I am telling you that President Trump was sympathetic to us. He said, and Jared Kushner, who's a Zionist, I get it. But what are we Palestinians? We support the Palestinians. What do you expect Jews to do? American Jews, they're going to support Israel. That's what it is. But even Jared Kushner said, the plan is negotiable. We could have gone there and negotiated and then said, you know what, this plan doesn't work. We tried. We keep trying. But it's Israel that's reticent. It's Israel that doesn't want it. It's Israel's government that doesn't want peace. And we could have reached out to moderate Israelis who we don't have to agree with 100%, and American Jews who we don't have to agree with 100%, and we could work with them, and we could have built a coalition to force a better plan. And we could have gotten a better plan, because this is the first president who outlined a map of his plan. You think Clinton did any better than this guy? He lied to us. Clinton lied. They lied all the time. All he cared about was himself and staying on the good side of the Israelis, and including Obama. You think Obama did anything for the Palestinians other than smile at us and pat us on the head and say, hey, you're right. I support you. You support us. You gave Israel more money than they've ever gotten from American taxpayers, $38 billion. And then they use that money to offset the money that they then put into the Israeli settlements. You know, Obama never did us any favors. He just talked happy talk. He made us feel good. And you know what? Isn't that what it is about when it comes to emotion? We just want to feel good. And we just want somebody to lie to our faces and just say the right words. We don't want the hard truth. And the hard truth is that it's our fault as much as it is the extremists in Israel. It's our fault because as Palestinians, we have allowed the fanatics to take over our community and speak for us. And you know what? Until we stop that, nothing is going to change. Our number is 248-557-3300. You can give us a call. Let's go back to there's a interesting race that I was talking about before the break in the 3rd Congressional District. The 3rd Congressional District has four candidates, but only three from a Palestinian standpoint. Two who are significant. Marie Newman is challenging Dan Lipinski. Marie Newman is a progressive. She comes from a very far-leaning agenda. I agree with a lot of things she says, and there are things that I disagree with. Dan Lipinski is a conservative Democrat. He's a Reagan Democrat. And you know what? We got another call, and every time I want to get into the 3rd District, we have people calling. So let's go back to the phone lines at 248-557-3300. Welcome, Jerry Haba, our number one fan. Jerry, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you. That's an honor for me to be in your show, Mr. Ray Hanania. And I'm sorry I did not tune to your radio. I was invited to a wedding last night, and good. I wake up late. I say, oh, my God, I better catch you right.
Yeah, Ella Delona music, hummus, tabbouleh, stuffed grape leaves, oud, and debka, right?
Yes, right. In fact, I just told Mike, your producer, I was looking for you guys to share with you a couple of drinks, but I didn't see you guys nowhere.
haram to share drinks. Haram. That's what they say, know, right? You know,
I'm talking about drink, I'm talking about Coke.
I'm joking. You know I'm joking with you. So, Jerry, what do you think? Tell me what you think of the deal of the century. What do you think? The steal of the century? The deal of the century? Have Palestinians done anything right? What do you think of all this?
All right, my friend. Jamal Abdel Nasser, the late Egyptian president, God bless his soul, he said the word, ما أخذ بالقوة لا يسترد إلا بالقوة. What was taken by force does not return just by force. And I believe President Jamal Abdel Nasser, he was wrong at that. Look what disaster he brought to Egypt and to the Arab when he was talking about the force. Nowadays, Mr. Ray, the diplomacy, the diplomat, the talk, the negotiation, one-on-one, that would bring solution to the people. And absolutely, Mr. Ray Hanania, you 100% right. If the Palestinian accept what the President Donald Trump said, absolutely right. Mr. Netanyahu, he will have a heart attack when he moved to
Yes, he would. He would have had a heart attack. They would have had to carry him off the stage.
You know, Ray, 2-3 decades ago,
yes,
Palestinian leader, they lost a golden opportunity.
Yeah, they did.
Remember, right at that time, during the other prime minister of Israel, previous, they gave the Palestinian a lot of land, a lot of territory, but
that's why the Israelis killed Yitzhak Rabin.
They rejected.
They did.
Yasser Arafat,
yes.
God bless his soul, he rejected a lot of plan. And if he accepted,
yes,
Palestine will be in a better shape today.
Yeah, and you know why he rejected it? Because the extremists were threatening him. The extremists said, that's not enough. You have to have the right of return. Every Palestinian has to return to 1947. They wanted to turn back the clock, like they have the power to turn back the clock. This fanaticism that has a stranglehold on the Palestinians is what's destroying us, because we could turn it around.
Think, Mr. Ray, sorry to interrupt you.
You're not.
Absolutely. It was the extremists around PLO leader Yasser Arafat when he rejects that. But did you see, Ray, how the former Egyptian president Mohammed Anwar Sadat, when he accepts the invitation of a prime minister of Israel at that time, and he went to Tel Aviv, he went to the enemy's,
yes,
headquarters and start talking to them.
Yes. Yeah, and I think that's what we should be doing. We should be talking to the moderate leadership. Even in Sadat's case, what happened to Sadat? The extremists killed him, just like the extremists did to Rabin, because the extremists don't want peace.
They don't want peace, and some extremists, Orthodox Jewish, he assassinated,
yes,
the late Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin.
Yeah.
No different than the extremists assassinate Mohammed Anwar Sadat. But look, right, because of Mohammed Anwar Sadat accept the peace plan, he was able to bring back the Sinai Peninsula to Egypt. He was able to bring half of the Suez Canal to Egypt.
He would have done more. He would have done more if they hadn't killed him. He would have done more, but the problem was us, the Palestinians, and the rise of Hamas and the rise of extremism have destroyed our ability to do positive movement forward. They've destroyed us, and we can't get out of it. Jerry, because we're on a deadline and there's so many people calling,
yeah,
I appreciate it. I don't want to cut you off because I do appreciate your views. They mean a lot.
Right. The Palestinian leader, they should make their movement about this plan by President Donald Trump.
Yep.
And let's take advantage of this time,
yep,
and sit. But, right, the last thing I want to tell you, don't you think, right, Russia should be a part of this peace plan?
Yeah, they should. But look at the rest of the world. They're in total disarray. And, you know, everybody's right, faced with extremism. But you're right. Jerry, listen. Jerry, how about...
Right.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, okay? All right, buddy. You have a good day. Our number is 248-557-3300 if you want to call in. We're going to take one more break, and we do have 15 minutes, and I promise you we will talk about that third district too. We will get into it unless somebody calls, and then we'll talk about the steal of the century or the deal of the century and the pathetic leadership of the Palestinians who allow themselves to be put in a headlock by the extremists and the even worse extremism of Israel's government, Benjamin Netanyahu. Wouldn't it have been so nice to see Mahmoud Abbas go to that press conference with Trump and Netanyahu and say, yes, this is a good plan as a basis for a start. It's not the full plan. We need more. Netanyahu would have had a heart attack and fallen over. And you know what? Who knows what could have come out of that if we would just be smart and stop screaming through our emotion, no, 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 no. I'm Ray Hanania. You're listening to the Arab Street Radio here. at WNZK AM 690 Radio on your dial. You can always listen to this radio show online, too. You visit our website at hananiah.com to get those links to listen online from any place in the world, and also read all the columns at the Arab News that I write, the news stories that I write, and keep up with what's going on. You can also get the podcast of this radio show if you missed the powerful beginning that I offered to the radio show. You could hear it, and I really beg you to listen to the beginning of this radio show, because it is the bottom line, the problem with what we have in the Palestinian community. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back right after these messages. And welcome back to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hanania, your host. Normally, I'm here on the second Friday of every month, and I will be here February 14th, Valentine's Day, Friday. And I'll be yelling and screaming about the Palestinians not doing their job, pathetically representing us horribly. I'm just kind of filling in today to talk about the deal of the century, or if you want, the steal of the century. But I'm going to try to, our number, by the way, is 248-557-3300. If you have any comments about the Trump peace plan, and I urge you to listen to the podcast of this radio show by going to thearabstreet.org or just hananiah.com. I want to go back to the 3rd Congressional District, which has the largest concentration of Palestinian voters. They're again in a battle for to see if they can get the incumbent Congressman Dan Lipinski to represent them. He hasn't done a very good job of representing Palestinian interests, but he's done a great job of representing the conservative Democratic bend of the district. He's a Reagan Democrat. He's being challenged by Marie Newman, who is a very liberal, progressive Democrat, very smart. Both of them are good people. Marie Newman, very smart person. But the problem is that the base here, she can only go so far, and I don't think she can win. It's just not possible. And making it even more difficult is that a Palestinian entered the race, Rush Darwish. Rush is somebody that I really admire because he's a very smart guy. I consider him to be like me, very American-Palestinian rather than Palestinian-American. He understands the whole process of communications, that perception is reality, and you play into it. The sad tragedy, though, is as smart and as good as Rush is, he's done just the opposite, and he's played into the Arab communities, become, I don't know, I wrote originally it was the worst campaign I'd ever seen. Maybe not the worst, but it's pretty bad. It could be a lot better. They've raised a lot of money. You know, all three of these candidates have each raised almost $1 million. But they came out with a poll that the Lipinski campaign was touting, which showed Lipinski at 47%, Marie Newman at something like 27%, and Rush Darwish at 2%. He has nearly $1 million, and all he's getting is 2% of the vote. How is that? Because we're not good at politics. We expect too much. We don't understand the diplomacy. And that in politics, you got to win voters over, not push them away. And in fairness to Rush, the Chicago Sun-Times did a racist, hate-driven news article attacking him, claiming that he's anti-Semitic just because he raised some issues about the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. It's horrible. It's terrible. There's another candidate, a guy named Hughes. He's at 1%. But as long as Rush Darwish is, or Marie Newman are in the race, neither of them can beat Dan Lipinski. Marie Newman got close to beating Dan Lipinski in 2018 in the Democratic primary, which is, six months before the November election. They came close to beating, Marie Newman came close within 2,200 votes, I think, out of 95,000 votes cast, which is, 2%. That's pretty good. But she couldn't beat him. And now with the vote divided even more, the anti-Lipinski vote divided even more, Dan Lipinski is going to win. I'm not sure he's going to get over 50% of the vote, but he definitely is going to have the largest vote. And will be interesting. I hope it's a lesson for Dan Lipinski, but I'm not sure. He doesn't seem to listen. You know, to get your act together, Dan, get out there and do the right thing. Learn about the Middle East, because your population is focused on the Middle East. You know, and that's what congressmen do. They deal with foreign policy. But, you know, Dan's whole thing is, yeah, I'm a local guy. I'm supporting transportation. I support, you know, conservative issues. And I support blah, 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 you know, jobs. Everybody talks about jobs. Everybody talks about fighting crime. Who doesn't want more jobs? Who doesn't want to, fight crime and bring it down? Who doesn't want to do all these good things, you know, help the poor, build up, you know, infrastructure and transportation, improve education? Who doesn't want to do that? The issues that they should be talking about are not being talked about. It's kind of sad. Not one of these candidates, Dan Lipinski, Maureen Newman, or Rush Darwish, has come up with an ingenious, unique idea that's different from everybody else. None of them. So I'm going to tell you that this election is going to be just like the last election. Now, we can go into the Rashida Tlaib's district, and she could have a problem if the Detroit City Council President Jones gets in the race and challenges her. She only won because the black vote divided itself seriously among some really strong candidates. But Rashida slipped in because the blacks, who had 70% of the vote, couldn't get a plurality to win the Democratic primary. They have another primary. I think it comes in Detroit in August. I'm pretty sure about that. And we'll also be seeing Ilhan Omar is being challenged by several Democrats and a lot of Republicans, including a Republican Chaldean Iraqi named Dalia El-Akidi. She's a Republican. Unfortunately, she has no chance of winning. She's a good person, but she's not going to win because that is a solidly Democratic district that's been Democrat since 1963. They get 70% of the vote every election. So Ilhan Omar is a shoo-in for re-election. I'm not sure about Rashida Tlaib, and I'm pretty sure Rush Darwish, a good guy, isn't going to beat Dan Lipinski. Anyway, we're on here with our final moments, so I'd like to urge you, please go to my website at hananiah.com. And it's also called the dailyhookah.com. I thought that's kind of a cute name. So hananiah.com, you can go there. You get links to all my columns. Every week I write for the Arab News, and I tell the world the truth about what's going on and that needs to be pursued. You need to read it. If you want to break from the extremists and fanatics, you need to follow me. You need to read my stuff. If you're not doing it, okay, you sold your soul to the fanatics and the extremists. I get it. They're more appealing. You know, they're singing and dancing and screaming and yelling, and that's what they want. But you need to come to the good side, to the moderate side, because that's where progress and Palestinian freedom is going to be. I'm Ray Hananiah. I want to say thank you to everybody. And thank everybody, Leila El-Husseini. And again, urge you, please go to hananiah.com. Read all my columns in the Arab News and the news stories that I write. I'm Ray Hananiah. Have a great day. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Arab Street Radio and Podcast. I'm Ray Hananiah. We've had a discussion of all the issues facing Arabs in America and the Middle East, from Israel to Palestine, Syria, and more. Visit www.hananiah.com. to get more information on all of my podcasts and on my award-winning opinion columns.